Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy Dayton at the network. And we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Kimberly Dvorak, be checking in at the bottom of the hour with her latest, has a lot to do with social media. Selwyn Duke will be here in the second hour, writer for The New American. And boy, does he have some goodies. Well, he always has goodies. Let me see here. I've got to find the first one. Well, I'll get to it in a little bit here. Anyhow, in the news, boy, I mean, crazy stuff going on, right? And in my opinion, one of the craziest is a lady named Nancy Pelosi. Democrats are going to call on Pence to use the 25th Amendment today, or else Nancy Pelosi, these are her words, I guess, will begin impeachment on deranged, unhinged, dangerous Trump. Yep, that's the guy she's, yeah, that's a deranged, unhinged, dangerous Trump. Now, why would he fall into that category, Nancy Pelosi? Must be because he's a Republican, I guess. Says we've got to stop him from running for president again. And she fears he might pardon the MAGA mob, you know, Make America Great mob. You know, there was an attack on the Capitol, and I think it was like October 4th or 6th back in 2016. She didn't feel that way then. Oh, that's right, it was Antifa, which some of it on this last little fiasco also is Antifa. Nancy wrote to the Democrats saying that unless Mike Pence invokes the 25th Amendment on Monday, we're going to have to proceed with impeachment. She told 60 Minutes that she wants impeachment for Donald Trump so he can't run for office in the future. Said, however, that she would prefer if Pence would use the 25th Amendment because it would get Trump out of the White House now. Quote, I like the 25th Amendment because it gets rid of him. He's out of the office, adding there is more support in Congress for impeachment. House Democrats preparing to vote on impeachment. Proceedings could take months. Pelosi's voice concerns Trump could use his last days in office to pardon the mob who stormed the Capitol on Wednesday. And Representative AOC asserted yesterday that Trump needs to be held accountable for the mob. She said we came close to half of the House nearly dying on Wednesday. I wonder if she's going to become a novelist. AOC, yeah. So, dangerous, deranged, unhinged Donald Trump. Wow. Now, Trump could become the only president to be impeached twice. Yes. I know, you know, they didn't find anything, but, well. In protecting our Constitution and our democracy, we will act with urgency, because this president represents an imminent threat to both, she said, and added, the horror of the ongoing assault on our democracy perpetrated by this president is intensified, and so is the immediate need for action. You know, the assault on our democracy, Nancy, you need to look in the mirror. That's just my opinion. Why is Twitter censoring Trump, but not the Communist Chinese Party? Patty Hanman wrote this, says, last week Donald Trump was blocked indefinitely from Facebook and was also handed a 12-hour Twitter suspension, and three of his tweets were deleted. And these moves come after Trump supporters stormed the Capitol with the president's critics accusing him of inciting and then failing to condemn the violence in which five people died. Some have pointed to the firms inconsistently. Twitter, for example, while censoring Trump, has taken no action against a tweet from the Chinese embassy in the United States, which has framed the ethnic cleansing of Uyghurs as a form of re-educative liberation. Study shows that in the process of eradicating extremism, the minds of the Uyghur woman in Anxing were incapacitated, gender equality, reproductive health were also were promoted, making them no longer baby-making machines. Yeah, their quote. Apparently celebrating the persecution of Jing Jing's Muslims did not break Twitter rules. lot more of this coming up with Kimberly Dvorak. The tweet revealed the sinister character of the Chinese government propaganda. Also seems as if Twitter felt the outgoing president to be more worthy of an online punishment than an authoritarian state persecuting a whole race of people. Could there be a more telling example of Silicon Valley's misplaced priorities? The bad orange man, for all his failings, does not even come close to the level of being perpetrated in Jiangjin. But in big tech's executive minds, the image threat of a Trumpian coup appears to be more concerning than the actual reality of authoritarian China. Well, Trump did respond to Twitter's permanent account suspension. Friday, January 8th, President Trump, responding to Twitter's move to permanently suspend his account from his platform late Friday, condemning the big tech giant, saying it does not stand for free speech. Quote, "As I've been saying for a long time, Twitter has gone further and further in banning free speech, and tonight Twitter employees have coordinated with the Democrats and the radical left in removing my account from their platform to silence me. And you, the 75 million great patriots who voted for me," Trump said in a statement. That would be him and you and I and so many others. Well, as you know, no judge would listen to Sidney Powell's evidence. But, of course, judges did take the Dominion lawsuit. Dominion Voting Systems last Friday sued lawyer Sidney Powell, claiming that she defamed the company. Powell made a set of wild accusations that are demonstrably false. Dominion stated in its lawsuit, which was filed in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia, that's what they said, it covered allegations that Dominion rigged the 2020 election and that the firm bribed officials in Georgia for a deal concerning its election machines and software. This, according to the 124-page suit. Powell did not provide proof to back her allegations other than declarations from a motley crew of conspiracy theorists, con artists, armchair experts, and anonymous sources who were judicially determined to be wholly unreliable, Dominion continued. When Dominion sent a letter to the lawyer putting her on formal notice and requesting her to withdraw her allegations, Powell told her 1.2 million followers on Twitter, that was December 20th, 2020, of the letter and announced she was retracting nothing because we have evidence and they are fraud masters. In the weeks and weeks that followed, Powell appeared for a number of media interviews and continued to double down on her false accusations about Dominion. The suit states, Dominion brings this action to set the record straight, to vindicate the company's rights under civil law, to recover compensatory and punitive damages, to seek a narrowly tailored injunction, and to stand up for itself and its employees. Dominion is requesting at least $651 million in compensatory damages, not less than $651 punitive damages. Powell did not respond to a request for comment. Dominion, which is a Colorado-based company, in recent weeks assigned letters to some people and media companies threatening to sue if they did not obey orders. You want to hear that again? Dominion assigned letters to some people, media companies, threatening to sue if they did not obey orders. The suit last Friday seemed to be the first one filed by the company about the allegations upon its equipment and plans in the 2020 election. Dominion maintains its machines and or software are practiced by 28 states. A Dominion employee last month sued President Donald Trump's campaign, claiming that it spread fake theories about the election, even though most of the U.S. citizens believe some election fraud did occur. The suit from Eric Coomer, Director of Product Strategy Security for Dominion, further cited Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and Powell as defendants. Now, although the company is not that easily off the hook, as a Michigan judge directed the release last Monday of an independent forensic audit report of the Dominion voting machines utilized in Antrim County, which flipped from a win for Democrat Joe Biden to President Donald Trump after a glitch was found and repaired. The audit, which was directed by Russell Ramsland of the Dallas-based Allied Security Operations Group, exposed over a 68% ballot error rate, not less than 85,000 times higher than the Federal Election Commission guidelines allow. 85,000 times higher. Normally, if they say, oh, it was five times higher, yes, than the guidelines will allow. But this was 85,000 times higher. But, you know, we'll see. Don't hold your breath, all right? Let me see here. They say that liberals keep trashing Florida, and it's obvious why. If you simply listen to the mainstream news media, you get the impression that Florida has been hit uniquely hard by the coronavirus pandemic. At obsessive levels, the Sunshine State has been lambasted for daring to keep their economy open while not enacting pointless, draconian mitigation measures. Of course, the reality is far different from the media's perceptions, that is. Florida still only has about half of the deaths per 100,000 compared to New York and New Jersey, despite countless challenges to just wait 2 weeks, that date all the way back to the spring. Well, that hasn't stopped the left from continuing to trash Florida. And here's the Grim Reaper, a lawyer who pranced around on a Florida beach months ago proclaiming that doom was coming, quoting noted conspiracy quack Rebecca Jones. Florida is not ground zero for death and sickness. In fact, it's not even close. Yet these grifters owe their name recognition to the extent that it exists to making wild claims of demise. It's no wonder they want to keep the fear and loathing forwarding toward their home state. The reason the left and their media allies want Florida to faceplant is simple. If Florida fails, it shows them to justify all their terrible, ineffective lockdowns that have crushed blue states across the Union. Instead, the opposing is happening, with Florida doing far better than the blue states locked down the hardest. And that doesn't just include New York, the real epicenter of death and sickness. California, which was often listed with Florida early on as handling the pandemic better, is seeing their largest spikes of any state in the country, despite being mostly locked down. Of course, the response to those facts is for the left to claim Ron DeSantis is an evil mastermind who's covering up all those deaths. Well, that's not true either, but no one ever claimed liberals were rational in their thinking. It is funny that the media will decry the idea of voter fraud as a conspiracy theory while hosting crazy people like Rebecca Jones on CNN to spread their conspiracy theories about Florida, which have no basis whatsoever. In short, the bashing of Florida exists for one reason, for leftists to save face. Fortunately, for more reasons than one, Florida is not going to give them the satisfaction. And comments about, you know, under Joe Biden, now they will have the decision that we don't need Democratic governor orders at all. It'll all just be coming from one man, Joe Biden, or one lady who wears tennis shoes for her official photo. That's right. That would be Kamala Harris. All right. Hey, we got lots more. And then don't forget Kimberly Dvorak at the bottom of the hour.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
A desperate husband contemplating murder goes to a seedy hotel room where he gets involved in a heavy-duty conversation with a walking, talking Bible. In the provocative new movie, Gun and a Hotel Bible.
You seem like a good guy.
Not a good guy.
So a bad guy who talks to Bibles.
The two actors who star in the surprisingly effective film, Bradley Gosnell and Daniel Florin, also wrote the play that inspired it. They are both superb on screen, with Florin bringing to life a book, or should I say the book, that spent most of its life ignored in a hotel room drawer, but here gets a chance to engage with a bitterly disillusioned pastor's son. Officially unrated, but with some intense adult content that would have probably earned a PG-13. This is a wildly original and profoundly serious film. 3 stars for The Impossible to Forget, Gun, and A Hotel Bible.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808. Question: have you ever thought about making an investment in California real estate and getting the high returns available through trust deeds? As a trusted professional broker, Sun Pacific Mortgage and Real Estate has been helping investors earn high yield returns on safer investments for over 32 years. Their trust deeds earn upwards of 13%. That's right, 13%. They invest in notes starting from $100,000 throughout all of California, where real estate remains strong. If you want to know more about high return investments through available deeds of trust, go to their website, sunpacificmortgage.com, or call them today at 707-523-2099. That's sunpacificmortgage.com, or call 707-523-2099. sunpacificmortgage.com or 707-523-2099.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Hey, and another reminder, Kimberly Dvorak coming up after the next break. And she'll be trying to stream again live on Facebook. So you spell that last name, D-V-O-R-A-K. Speaking of guests and people like that, tomorrow, Frank Vernuccio, Editor-in-Chief, New York Analysis of Policy and Government. His report, Space Command Measures. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, very interesting report. And then in the second hour, it's going to be Marilyn Barnwall. Yes, the author of The Active-Passive Personality Syndrome. Her latest article, Is America a Christian Nation? Or Is It a Nation of Churches? Yes, Marilyn Barnwall. False flag at the Capitol. It's all about the effects and aftershocks. That's right. John Rappaport says the engineering of a false flag assault on the Capitol building last Wednesday, possibly led by Antifa actors. The events of Wednesday at the Capitol achieved a jackpot for the political left. Televised discussion debate in the joint session of Congress about vote fraud was derailed. When Congress reconvened, no one had the stomach to vigorously assert that Trump won the election. No one cared anymore. The viewing audience, if there was one, couldn't have cared either. 100% of the attention was on the Capitol break-in. Trump himself wielded to the shocking assault on the Capitol. The media made sure of that. January 6, 2021 is a date that will live in infamy forever. The day Trump betrayed America, he whipped up his supporters in a frenzy, and then they invaded the people's house. The media will play this tune for about the next 20 years, one aim, and that is to destroy any chance that Trump can come back in 2024 to run for the presidency, to completely snuff out his future or the future of his son, Donald Jr., in politics. Another aim to discredit all Trump supporters. That's right, cast them as violent lunatics. Even the shooting death of a Trump supporter inside the Capitol by the police, subliminally implied as a necessary action to stop that revolt in progress. Yes, there is more. Efforts to protest the COVID lockdowns will be equated by the media and the government with the Capitol assault. It's all the same thing, the same unhinged people, the crazy deplorables and the dangerous anti-vaxxers. New rounds of brutal COVID lockdowns are going to be justified on the basis that there are violent groups in our country who don't care about infecting other people with that virus. And you know who they are. Many of them are wearing MAGA hats. There is only one way to defeat this pandemic: shelter in place long enough until it's over. Now, media, of course, conveniently ignored the months of violent Antifa-led riots, violence, crime, and the media will continue to bury those events behind a wall of outrage against the Capitol break-in. Crashdowns on dissenting behavior are now on the table as a national security issue. We must approach the certain kinds of dissidents as act of war. Look at the attack on the very core of our republic, the Congress of the People at the Capitol building. And that began as simply angry rhetoric, but it will build into the attempt at the violent overthrow. Remember those words, violent overthrow. What's happening now has parallels to the Oklahoma City bombing, 1995, at a time, by the way, John Rappaport had written exclusively about a great deal of anti-government sentiment in the country. There was talk of secession on both left and right. Decentralization of power was a prominent issue. Media were focused on the dangers of the right-wing militant groups. And then after the explosion, which was far more sophisticated than an ammo truck bomb, President Bill Clinton gave a key speech to which he basically said, "Come home to the federal government. We will protect you." Aided by an outpouring of media praise for the speech, Clinton won the day. And Biden, he'll try the same thing. He has no big skills, but he'll play the peacemaker with the unifier. It's time to heal the wounds. The nation can't survive in this climate of divisiveness and hatred. We must make peace with our brothers and sisters. Come home to the government. Come home to the government. That's how propaganda's done, connecting one reaction to other reactions across the board. Imagine a Trump supporter who lives in a blue state, looks in his closet today, he sees his MAGA hat and the American flag, and he wonders what will happen if he puts on that hat and he walks down the street. Yeah, I'm still talking about the United States of America. We'll be back.
Attention Italian food lovers, Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California is open for takeout. Angelo's and Vinci's Takeout is available to offer you pizza, pasta, chicken, seafood, and the best Italian food in town. Order today and feast on salads, the best pizza, thin or thick crust, chicken marsala, parmesan, and more. Homemade lasagna, fettuccine alfredo, tortellini, antipasto, and caprese salads. Plus for dessert, homemade zeppoles and tiramisu flown in from Rome. We hope you're healthy and safe, and we want to keep you well fed. Wapo's To-Go Kitchen is open from 4 to 9 p.m. every day, or you can order through DoorDash. Remember, our pizza dough, bread, and sauces are still being made fresh every day. Angelo's and Vinci's, named Best Italian Restaurant on the Orange County Hot List. 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call us at 714-879-4022. Angelo's and Vinci's, 714-879-4022, 714-879-4022.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Let me tell you about my guest, Kimberly Dvorak, award-winning national security, border security investigative reporter for TV, radio, and the print media. Kimberly is the senior foreign policy advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. She's also a TV's correspondent for CW News 6 in San Diego. That's CW 6 News San Diego, as well as One America News Network. Her website is the KD Report, and usually she streams live on Facebook. Let us check. Kimberly, how are you?
I am saving lives. Success. I'm on Facebook. Have not been purged from Facebook just yet. YouTube, a different story over there. You know, they're really going after conservatives and people like myself, so...
All right, hang on 1 second. Would you hang on one moment, dear? Yes, Madam Secretary. Yes, it's KIMB. Oh, you want the last name? Dvorak. Yes.
Right. Oh God.
I'll tell you.
That's all we can do. But it's laugh about this. But it is very serious stuff that we're talking about, and we're talking. You know, we're talking about issues that, you know, the Democrats are going. They're out for revenge with this, and then taking the First Amendment and throwing it, you know, out the window. And when you start looking at some of the draconian things that they have planned for people who are not of their party, there's only one word, communist, that comes to mind, because they're siding with China on all of this, and they are going to be purging people from social media, from emails, you know, small businesses, large businesses that supported the president, can look forward to having to find a new banking system to in order to take credit card for payment, say in business. You're looking at all of this happening. And then also, you know, threatening, as we saw this weekend, Forbes magazine, Forbes, came out and wrote this story, basically an opinion, but the new CEO said, look, we're taking names, and if anybody hires these people,
yeah,
we're going after your company. And it's just like, what? You know, where do we live? That's what they do in China. That's not what they do in America. If you don't like the Republicans, it's fine. Write some stories that you don't like them. But trying to, you know, have people, you know, not be able to be gainfully employed on this is just ludicrous. And then also over the weekend, Simon and Schuster went after Josh Hawley, and he had a book that's already signed, and he's already signed off on it.
Yeah.
That was going to come out in the next couple of months. And they said, nah, sorry, we don't think that you're, you know, we don't want your business here. So you're looking at the silencing of the right over a riot that got out of control at the Capitol. And it wasn't the majority of people out there doing this. And so the president, you know, said, let's peacefully march. And let's, as patriots, we're going to peacefully march. So I think patriot definitely is probably the new, you know, tag word for them to go ahead and just delete everything there is on the internet and shun anybody who thinks that it's a good idea to peacefully march down to the Capitol.
Hey, going back a little bit, and you were talking about the people were that put out this article or whatever about
yep,
you won't be hired and, you know, and don't, you know, buy any products.
Yep.
Did you mean, what was company was that again, did you say?
Forbes,
yeah. But
Forbes?
Here's the thing, yeah. Kimberly, didn't yeah, they just sell to a Chinese company?
No, 6 years ago they sold to a Chinese company, so it's actually operated by the Communist Party.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
They're
okay,
putting
thank
out
you,
this. Yeah. Yeah, they're putting this stuff out, and the CEO is Randall Lane, and he's just doing probably what China has told him to do on this front. But to go out and target people and tell people like Kellyanne Conway or you know, some of the other press secretaries out there, you know, Spicer, whatever, that they are not allowed to have a job. They just need to go home. And I'm sorry, Kaylee, you've been really good up there on the podium, but you know what? You need to go home. I know you've got small children you got to take care of, but you know what? You don't deserve to, you know, be employed by anyone in this country.
Yeah.
How does that happen in this country?
Well, you know, and I think the other thing is we had a little bit of hope before the Georgia election, you know, because
yeah,
it wasn't going to be complete Democrat control of the United States of America. But now they, you know, what are you going to, you're going to have, you know, five Democrats that are going to go against them. And they'll say,
yeah,
oh, yeah, well, good luck. Guess what? AO, do you have any other friends that would like to come in and sit in a couple of these chairs? We'll make a new
yep,
rule now. You don't even have to be voted in when someone is deemed to be, you know, a bad Congress critter. Yes.
Deplorable.
Or something.
Yeah, you're deplorable.
Boy.
Yeah, I mean, when I first read this story about, you know, Forbes suggesting, and they're going to start some sort of truth commission foundation so they can go after all
yeah,
of the Trump people who spoke out against Biden and Hunter Biden and all of those issues. When I got to the bottom, I was just like, no, this isn't Forbes. This is not Forbes. I mean, it's an economy. That's what their bread and butter is. They're looking at the economics and the issues of economics and the impact of economics on the average citizen. And when you read this, you're just like, no, this is not Forbes. And then, of course, you read down further and you find out that, look, this indeed is what's coming out. The,
yeah,
you know, the Democrats are in full revenge mode. I mean, it's 9 days until the president walks out of the White House, and they want to impeach him. I mean, is that helping people in the Midwest who need a job so they don't lose their houses? Is that what Nancy Pelosi really thinks is on the mind of these people who are suffering under the COVID pandemic? And on top of that, you know, they're forcing businesses to remain closed. So they're putting people out of business. Their jobs are dwindling away, and they want to try to impeach Trump again. I mean, I just, you know, there's, it's such a ludicrous thing that they're doing. And, you know, I certainly hope the majority of Americans can look at this and go, really? That's important? You know, how about making sure we can open our businesses and hire people? That's what people are interested in, not your revenge against the president because you didn't like him and he wasn't a swamp creature. So, you know, you've definitely got him out of office and he's going 9 days from now. He'll be going. So I don't understand why they're doing this.
Yeah. You know, and it would take another probably 2 years to get the impeachment over with. Well, not now because of, you know, the majority they have. But I wonder, do you think that the Dems are afraid to speak up and say, hold it just a minute. You know, we said we wanted, you know, some free stuff, free college, you know, and higher wages or whatever, free this, free that. But, you know, we didn't say we need to go and, you know, are you think they're building gallows? Will that be part of the swearing in ceremony?
I think that they're under the assumption that because they won the election down in Georgia, that they have free reign. And what's the best way to silence everybody from moving forward or you know, silencing people in the form of, like, maybe they were thinking of running for Congress. Mm-hmm. You know, this behavior and the fact that they'll go after employers and that now you can't earn a paycheck and you can't go to the bank. And you can, I mean, all of these little things. I think that they are just trying to come down so heavy-handed just to ward off any, you know, future ideas of anybody sitting out there who isn't a politician but thinks that they could run the country better than what we're going to see for the next 4 years. That's what I think this is all about. I think this is about if you come at us and try to get us out of power, then we are going to come after you and your family, and you will not be able to have any kind of livelihood. And to me, that brings us back to the 50s with McCarthyism and that. And we certainly shouldn't be wanting to go back down that road. That's certainly not going to unite the country. And it's, in fact, only going to divide the country further. And those 74 million people that voted for President Trump will get together. They will form a Tea Party-like organization, and they will push ahead. And their organization will have Democrats as well as Republicans in it because they're not doing the business of the people. And going after President Trump, he lost. He's basically leaving. But going after him on an impeachment and taking all the time to write it up and put all of their thoughts together on paper, what are they doing about COVID? What are they doing? Nothing.
See, that was the whole thing about, you know, he didn't handle COVID correctly. Well, you know, and he was on trial for ever and ever and ever when he should have been having more time to spend it on COVID. You know, Kimberly, at one time, and it's almost like you're watching an old Christmas movie, you know, or something like that, but at where you could tell your daughter or your son, and at that time it would be either a daughter or a son, and say, you know, son, daughter, guess what? Anyone in America can grow up and become president of the United States. But now, you know, anyone can become president of the United States as long as you belong to the CFR, okay, Council on Foreign Relations, because Trump was the first that didn't. And then the other thing, Kimberly, would be, let's see if I can get my thought back there. What was the other thing, Chuck? Well, must not been that important. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, this is what they're doing.
Well, I was going to say the swamp, but I think the swamp and the CFR are pretty close together. Go ahead.
Yeah. But they are hand in hand. So they've got a lot of time to make up for because for 4 years they haven't been able to do much of what they usually do. So they're excited. So they're going to ensure that anybody that rises up and speaks out against them, that forget it. It's not going to happen. And it also reminds me, too, of when President Obama took office and he decided that the first thing on the table for him would be health care. And I remember a press conference, and it was, in his first month of the presidency, where he had Speaker Paul Ryan come to, the meeting. They were going to discuss ideas for, the health care reform. He invited his family, his parents, and everybody there. And then the president on live TV looked at him and said, elections have consequences, and silenced him. But he didn't do that behind the scenes. He did that in front of the cameras because they wanted him to know, and they wanted everybody else out there to know, that they will strong-arm their way into getting whatever it is they want. It's like they stole the election. And hopefully there will be some sort of, you know, revelation here where we're going to get a day in court so we can see exactly what happened here behind this election. But, you know, the American people, I think, I mean, knocking people off Twitter, let's kick them out of Facebook, YouTube. Okay, Parler, you can't even be out there, period. Parler is a, you know, direct competitor of Twitter. And Amazon comes in, oh, we'll get rid of you too. So, I mean, you're looking at all this censorship and the First Amendment stuff. I mean, of course, this will, you know, wind up in lawsuits and it'll go all the way to the Supreme Court. And we know how the court will rule on this, the First Amendment. But the fact that they're doing this so blatantly, especially to the President of the United States, I mean, you would think that he had, you know, murdered a few million people in his tenure.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not true. It's bad.
And, you know, the other thing, Kimberly, is that, you know, like Parler, for example, the owner was making a statement today. I think he was on Fox or One American News.
Newsmax.
And saying, I'm sorry?
He's on Newsmax, too.
Yeah, and he was just talking about, you know, this is just a way to say, nope, you don't have permission to start another company because we're more powerful than you are. That's not the way it's supposed to run, you know. It's
no.
But you mentioned the Supreme Court. See, I'm a little worried about them, too. We may have the majority when it comes to, you know, conservatives, but I think the voter fraud thing, you know, they should have looked into it.
Yeah. And they may still, but cases may still get there. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of different constitutional attorneys on this front. They said the court was, they didn't want to be the person who made the decision about the election. So they shoved things back and they sent things back down to lower courts and whatnot. And most likely what we'll see is that the cases that are have been brought up by people within the administration close to the president, they will bubble up. They'll go to the Supreme Court. Eventually, the Supreme Court will go, oh, my gosh, we didn't know this. Wow. Really tough stuff. So we're going to have to, like, you know, send this back to the courts, and now you're going to have to figure out a different way to vote than using those machines. And, you know, and it's too late to, like, get rid of Biden and Harris and the whole crew because, you know, the election was 6 months ago. So, you know, they're already in their thing. So better luck next time. That's what they're going to do.
Did you happen to see the picture of Kamala Harris that's all over now with wearing Levi's and kind of like a sweater and tennis shoes? And this is, it's not
She's
the first lady.
She's the cool aunt, remember? She's always referred to herself. I'm the cool aunt.
Boy, and even the background. I mean, here the live person, you know, could have a little control, but this photographer, I don't know, maybe they just said, let's just see how bad we can make it look. I don't know, but or maybe I'm just prejudiced.
I mean, it was interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, there's so much going on, and I think, like with me, it's even when Nancy Pelosi talks, there's no mention anything about radicals or Antifa or this is different than it was during the summer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just Trump supporters. It's like every one of them from A to Z, you know, we're all wearing a MAGA hat or something. But, you know, I can't remember who it is now, but it might have been you when we were talking last week that they actually had ads telling these people, go out and buy as much Trump apparel that you can get. Put it on, go there, and then when we storm the Capitol, do your best to make sure that the orange man is a bad man. We're going to take a break, and we'll return with the one and only Kimberly Dvorak. Her website, thekdreport.com. She's streaming live right now on Facebook. You spell the last name D-V-O-R-A-K. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford. And you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, with my guest Kimberly Dvorak, streaming live on Facebook. And once again, her website, thekdreport.com. You know, and as you mentioned at the top of the thing today is, you know, all of this kickback on people that had anything to do with the Trump or the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And the Project Lincoln, you know. Yeah, boy,
yeah.
That always threw me off. I think, boy, that's got to be a good old organization named after Abraham Lincoln. Nope, not so much. Do you think they're going to start going after I think Fox is settling down enough. You know, they started walking the line. I think, you know, they said, oh, yeah, we're backing off here. And then, of course, you got the two boys who are probably jumping up and down and having a good old time, one of them especially.
Yeah.
Do you think they're really going to start coming after the networks and stuff? You're not the mainstream. Yeah. You didn't follow our marching orders.
Well, I think they'll try. I think that, you know that everything right now is so fresh. It's going to take people time to acclimate to a new president. It's going to take time for them to, you know, kind of pull in their feelings, figure it all out, and then realize that, okay, we lost this battle, but now we got to get back off up on that horse and fight our next battle, because that's what's, you know, coming down the pipe. And you're going to see a lot. Yeah, you're going to see a huge movement. I mean, if the Democrats think that they're going to, you know, put their boots on the throat, so to speak, of the GOP, not the elite, because they're actually they like the Democrats and what they're doing. Mitch McConnell's happy to be the minority leader. That's what he loves doing.
Hmm.
But you know, for the other Democrats, or for the other Republicans who just came into office, and those who maybe came in on the Tea Party movement before them, you know, they're going to have a lot of the backlash and pressure from actual constituents. Because these people, at the end of the day, they have to, in essence, honor, you know, what their constituents want. Because 2022 is going to be right around the corner, 18 months less than that, they'll probably start campaigning. And, you know, it's going to be up to Tea Party movement, other organizations to go in and invest primary people that, you know, aren't sitting, you know, that have gone against, you know, President Trump maybe. Because one thing Nancy Pelosi does, and she does very well, is she keeps her people in order. She cracks the whip on them. She should have not become the speaker this last time. She had such a small margin of votes. Mm-hmm. She kept everybody together. And, you know, when you look at things like that, and then you look at the Republican Party going, oh, yeah, nope, we need to, you know, just stay away and we'll be nice. Maybe they'll be nice back to us. And then you've got the younger people going, no, we're here for change and our voices are going to be heard. For the first 2 years, there's relatively nothing that the Republicans can do. And I'm assuming that in the Senate with Chuck Schumer, that there will be, the filibuster will be thrown out and it'll be a straight, you know, just 50 plus one. So they'll, you know, anything, any legislation they want to get through, they can get through.
Yeah.
It's really hard when you're the minority party because you can't do anything. And if they take that legislation and do that in the Senate, then there will be even less things for the GOP to do and block any of these new laws that are coming our way, like the NRA and the gun stuff that was announced today. So,
oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're going to do it because they know in 2 years they're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good luck on that. Maybe they won't get their license wherever they're going. Oh, sorry. This Coliseum is going to be rebuilt. You won't have time to get in here. So I don't know. Hey, Kimberly, all out of time. Boy, I'll tell you, nothing going on, huh?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Another quiet day here.
Yeah, really. Kimberly Dvorak, thank you very much. TheKDReport.com, and she's the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, not American policy. It's not her fault. Okay. We'll be right back with Selwyn Duke. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy Dayton at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. And like I say, when next we meet Frank Vernuccio, Editor-in-Chief, New York Analysis of Policy and Government. Let me see his latest report, Space Command Matures. Marilyn Barnwall, writer for News with Views and author of The Active-Passive Personality Syndrome. Her latest article, Is America a Christian Nation? Or is it a nation of churches? All right, let us now go to the world-famous Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, the observer of the American Conservative World Net Daily, and American thinker. He's contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning and, of course, appears on television, frequent guest on radio. His website is Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. Hey, Selwyn, welcome back, sir. How are you doing?
Hi, Chuck. Good to be with you. Well, how am I doing? I'm still here. Big tech hasn't taken me down yet, and I see you're still there, too, so that's good. We're doing a little better than poor Parler, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah. You know, speaking of big tech, last week, when was it? I sent it out on my email, yeah, and it was a joke about a turtle sitting on top of the pole. I think you got it.
And, oh, yeah, that was funny. I saw that.
Yeah, and the amazing thing was that because it mentioned Biden, all of a sudden it started coming back, and if I tried to send it somewhere else, they had this big clamor on the bottom, you know, and it was like, what was it saying? I think it said Google has determined this might be a virus and all this other stuff. And it was, oh, my God, it went on and on and on and on. And the first time I saw it, it was because somebody sent it back telling me how much they enjoyed it. And then when somebody said, send it to this guy, And I went to do that, and then I got the little notice down there, and I said, wow, talk about Big Brother taking over, you know, worrying about little Chucky's emails. My goodness. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not surprising because, you know, when you're a liar, the truth is a virus, right? So to these people, the truth is a virus. And I can tell you, Facebook just recently labeled a couple of my posts as false, as containing false information. And one of them contained no false information at all. It was my article. You know, the other one I pointed out to people was just a matter of opinion. I said, I'm putting this out there for your consideration, but I don't know if it's true. But one was my article. And I was just reporting on a Chinese study, we talked about it the last time I was on, indicating that there was no asymptomatic transmission of COVID. You know, I was reporting on that study, and they're telling me, well, my post contains false information. I'd say to them, what's false? Show me what's false here. I even said in the article, I don't know for sure that the study is valid, but I'm presenting it to you for your consideration. It's unbelievable.
Was this the one where they did all that tracking of 10 million people? And nobody spread the disease.
Yes,
yeah, you know.
In Wuhan, China.
Yeah, it was wrong, by the way. It was false information. I'll tell you, it was 9,800,000. It wasn't 10 million. You know?
Yeah. I mean, what are they asserting? That the study did not take place? That I'm making it up? It's ridiculous.
I know. But, and they get away with it. Just push that button, you know. One of your latest here, the left is further dividing us, stroking civil war. And here's something you can think about if you've been married for a long time, especially. All right. Imagine that spouses in a marriage increasingly live separate lives. Now, there's a guy over there jumping up and down. I see you. Socializing, but with different, you know, friends and eating dinner apart, watching TV in separate rooms. That goes on a lot right now already. So I'm not watching no football, I told you. Okay, but anyway. But wouldn't you, like Selwyn says in this article, wouldn't you suspect that they were headed for a breakup? And then Selwyn carries it further. And I'm going to let him carry it because he's got the muscles.
All right. Well, then I wrote, now imagine that much of the division resulted because one spouse banned the other from his circle of friends, dinner table, and TV room, and refused to discuss differences rationally, instead preferring to just hurl names. Now, whom would you most blame for an impending separation? Now, this is analogous, Chuck, to what we're experiencing today. And what I'm talking about is, it used to be that Americans were divided by party, of course. We'd belong to different parties, but otherwise, we might put that aside, and we might socialize together. We might interact in arenas such as church, community organizations, social clubs, what have you. Well, the modern versions of social clubs, Chuck, writ large, are social media. And this brings us to some very interesting stories. You know, I'm sure you've discussed this on your show, but Twitter permanently banned President Trump, his real Donald Trump account, from its platform. Facebook and Instagram basically followed suit, at least they suspended his accounts, and we've seen the same fate befalling other prominent conservatives, just like Dan Bongino, the conservative commentator who is very popular. He was locked out of his Twitter account, and he said, well, consequently, he wasn't going to be tweeting anymore. He was done. He was going to devote himself to Parler. And Trump, I understand, opened a Parler account after he was banned from Twitter. So many conservatives now are migrating to other platforms. Now, Parler, we can get to that. That was recently just taken down by big tech. But they were migrating there.
Hey, let me ask
They're
you real quick.
They're migrating to Gab. Yeah.
So Parler was taken down. Did this happen over the weekend or just today? Because I know he was speaking earlier, the creator of Parler, talking about, you know, this is like you can't open a business, you know, without getting permission now, apparently, from the government. But did they close him down as of today or what?
Well, they went dark, I understand, at midnight last night. It must have been Pacific time because I know it was still up at 12 a.m. my time. I was up at that hour, unfortunately. I'm sort of a night owl. But anyway, what happened to Parler was, I'll just go off on this little tangent here, was Friday and Saturday, Apple and Google announced that they were going to ban Parler from their app stores, which really hurt the business but didn't take the site down. Then what happened shortly after that was Amazon announced that they were going to kick Parler off their servers. Obviously, Parler was using their servers. You pay for that service. And that completely took them offline. Now, this is a very bad, shady business practice, because if you're going to do that, you're supposed to give the entity some notice. Say, hey, we can no longer host you. We're going to give you 2 weeks to migrate your site over to different servers. That's what you do. When you do what Amazon did, that signals that this was a coordinated big tech attack, which is exactly what the CEO of Parler said, designed to destroy the business, to destroy this competition.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, after that, because I wrote about it, but another shoe has dropped. Parler announced, the CEO did, that other vendors now that had facilitated his business, like his email servers, other businesses, have dropped him. And so now he said there's nothing left, and he doesn't even know if he's going to be able to get his business back online. It might be permanently destroyed. And this is really, really very, very insidious, because what you have here is you have a competitor of Twitter's. Okay, and you have big tech, which is in bed with Twitter. I mean, they're all together. I call big tech Goog Twitface. That's what I've dubbed it. But basically, it's acting as a monolith. Yeah. You have big tech taking down one of the competitors of big tech. That's exactly what's happening here. But getting back to my article, my point is here. So you have all these conservatives now saying, okay, we've been censored for years by big tech. It's getting worse and worse and worse. We get the message. Now Twitter is so brazen and other platforms are so brazen that they're just blatantly kicking us off their platform. So we're now ideological refugees, so we're going to migrate as refugees do elsewhere. And so first they went to Parler. Now that's gone. Now they're going to Gab.com, which is another Twitter-like platform that competes with Twitter. And the last I heard, Gab's traffic had increased, Chuck, 750% because of this.
Wow.
And they were getting 10,000 new followers or new participants every single hour.
Now, is that GAB.com? Because we want to give them, you know, some little...
Yes.
GAB.com, yes. Gab.com. Don't get it confused with the Chuck Wilder here. Okay, that's the whole deal thing. Gab. It's Gab. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't confuse it with us, because we gab a lot. But anyway, I've been on Gab for a long time, by the way, and it's a very free speech-oriented platform, as Parler was.
Do have to register before you can get on it?
Yeah, you have to register with all of them, but Gab makes it very, very easy. They don't even require a mobile phone number, I understand.
Okay.
So anyway, conservatives are doing that. Now, my point in my article, when I say the left is dividing us further and stoking the fires of civil war, is that what in essence are they doing? You know, previously, again, we could all maybe circulate together, interact together, but the left is creating a situation by censoring conservatives and now by outright banning conservatives where they are separating people, separating us into completely different camps. And the battle lines get drawn more and more starkly all the time. And it's like that marriage that we spoke of at the opening, when the spouses are doing things in completely different arenas. You know, they're heading for a breakup. We keep separating liberals and conservatives more and more. Well, if you keep doing that, what do you think is going to happen? Eventually, you might have an actual division of the country, which I have to say at this point would suit me just fine, because I wouldn't mind being rid of the leftists. But that is what's going on here. So people ought to understand this, and the left ought to understand this. Is this the road down which it wants to go? Now, of course, what the left is thinking, Chuck, is it's thinking that it's simply stifling dissent and that it's going to be able to do so successfully. And so far, it has been. So you can understand why they have that perspective. And that's why, actually, in 2012, Chuck, I wrote about this phenomenon, what we now call cancel culture. We didn't have that term back then, but we had political correctness, and it had been going on for a long time, where if you said something politically incorrect, your career could be ended, your reputation could be destroyed. We had Jimmy the Greek Snyder, the sports commentator. That happened to him in the late 1980s, because he made some politically incorrect remarks at a restaurant. So what I pointed out in 2012 is what we're witnessing now is not the left going crazy because they know they're losing, as many conservatives back there were contending. What we're witnessing is a pacification effort. Now, what is the pacification effort? Well, that's what the winning side in a war embarks upon in the wake of the war, in order to stamp out the last remnants of opposition. like in Iraq, after winning the war, we embarked upon a pacification effort. Maybe it wasn't too successful, but we did that. Well, that's what the left has been doing, Chuck. It's been going from one arena to another, stamping out conservative dissent. You know, you espouse something politically incorrect, they end your career. Trump did what he did, opposing the establishment. They've taken him down. They've stolen the election. Now they want to destroy him completely. They even aim to put him in prison. And they're sending the message, do not oppose us. If you oppose us, we will destroy you. Now, of course, the problem with this is that's how freedom dies. We will just walk gently into that good night and descend into tyranny if we submit to that. And that's why we can't let that happen. Now, if that effort, pacification effort, Chuck, is not successful, okay, what's going to happen is you're simply going to see more and more division in this country because, like I said, the left is driving us further and further apart, and that could even lead to civil war if it becomes bad enough. That's absolutely what could happen.
You know, and coming up on the break here in just a moment, listener, remember when the Obama administration, remember their, crisis-free, anyway, when they wouldn't let the IRS give out permits to the Tea Party? You know, that was a way to hold them down. Yeah, boy. And you think Obama's not sitting there saying, okay, do this, do that. Yeah, we'll see. But just think if they ever decide to take over the electric companies, they don't have to worry about Twitter, email, radio shows, TV. My goodness, amazing. Because the wind ain't blowing that much. Selwyn Duke, the new American. He's going to continue in just a moment. A lot of great articles. We'll try to get through as many as possible. The next one I think we're going to talk about is racial segregation is the left's new woke value. Selwyn Duke, SelwynDuke.com. Be back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A desperate husband contemplating murder goes to a seedy hotel room where he gets involved in a heavy-duty conversation with a walking, talking Bible. In the provocative new movie, Gun and a Hotel Bible.
You seem like a good guy.
Not a good guy.
So a bad guy who talks to Bibles.
The two actors who star in the surprisingly effective film, Bradley Gosnell and Daniel Florin, also wrote the play that inspired it. They are both superb on screen, with Florin bringing to life a book, or should I say the book, that spent most of its life ignored in a hotel room drawer, but here gets a chance to engage with a bitterly disillusioned pastor's son. Officially unrated, but with some intense adult content that would have probably earned a PG-13. This is a wildly original and profoundly serious film. 3 stars for the impossible to forget Gun and a Hotel Bible.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with the one and only Selwyn Duke, the New American, and discussing one of many of his articles, many as possible, from SelwynDuke.com. SelwynDuke.com. You know, racial segregation is the left's new woke value. You know, it's almost like you couldn't make this stuff up, Selwyn. The party that created the KKK. You know what I'm saying? Huh. It's like, no wonder they're not teaching stuff in school.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, isn't it interesting? This absolutely corresponds to the article we were just talking about, because here we're talking about racial segregation, but just before the break we were talking about what? Ideological segregation. You know, the left separating us more and more into different ideological camps by censoring conservatives and forcing them onto different platforms. And, of course, why that's dangerous is that there's a little principle in life, and it goes like this. If people cannot talk things out, they're left to fight things out. And more, we cannot talk things out, and this behavior by the left just exacerbates that situation. But getting to this, as I point out, former Democrat governor, he's passed on now, he was an infamous segregationist, George Wallace, Chuck, he proclaimed more than a half century ago, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. And I write, well, guess what? It looks like his prediction actually has come to pass, and there are other Democrats making this happen. Because just as equality, which the left used to tout all the time, has given way to what they call equity, Chuck, which is now a euphemism for racial discrimination, well, integration is now increasingly giving way to segregation. And here's a good example, Chuck. A certain racial justice task force, it's been commissioned by the University of Pennsylvania, and it has prescribed, Chuck, permanent shared space for black student athletes. This is, like I said, at the University of Pennsylvania, and they say that it's also going to be open to, quote, allies and non-athletes. But this is the road that the left has been going down for a long time now, and Penn Athletic states, Chuck, that, quote, these recommendations have been created as a beginning, not a conclusion, unquote, in the process of making the athletics department into a, quote, more diverse, inclusive, anti-racist organization. Now, also,
let me ask you real quick. Now, that would be black athletic. Yeah, okay, black athlete, and no matter what they were, right, male or female, sharing the space.
Right. Okay. And they're allies and non-athletes, they say here. But I'm quoting Campus Reform now, and it says, according to the recommendation, student athletes will view a one-hour video entitled Broadening Your Perspectives. Then students will be divided into 30-person groups to discuss the video and view additional content. Okay, so anyway, the point is this is an example of racial segregation, and it's not unprecedented for modern times. For example, I'm quoting the City Journal now. I wrote about this years ago. According to, quote, new whistleblower documents, at least three public agencies in the Seattle region have implemented race-segregated diversity trainings that teach employees, in the words of one training manual, to accept responsibility for their own racism and question the white power structure. Okay? Then there's George Mason University, Chuck. In 2018, it actually held a separate orientation for black students. And I'm quoting the College Fix now. Quote, the event was called the Black Freshman Orientation. Hosted by the Black Student Alliance, the additional orientation occurred August 25th of that year at the university and has become an annual event there. So, anyway, this has become now pretty common among the left. I mean, they used to rail against segregation. Now they are all for it. And, you know, there are even universities, Chuck, that offer special dorm wings for black students. And as I point out in my article, of course, in colleges, there are no white orientations or white wings, only left wings, not any more than there's white entertainment television or Miss White America pageant or a congressional white caucus. There's plenty of dogmatic lecturing about white privilege, though.
I'll tell you, so, you know, as we go into this break, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, you look at this diversity trainings, you know, and can't we all just get along? But then it's as long as you understand your white power structure, right? And like you say, and as long as we don't have a only white American pageant, only a congressional white caucus, I'll tell you, I don't know. All right, Selwyn, another excellent article. They're all so excellent. Boy, I'll tell you. And if you want to share them with your friends, here's what you do. Go to SelwynDuke.com, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. We'll continue with more from this excellent article in just a moment.
Question: have you ever thought about making an investment in California real estate and getting the high returns available through trust deeds? As a trusted professional broker, Sun Pacific Mortgage and Real Estate has been helping investors earn high yield returns on safer investments for over 32 years. Their trust deeds earn upwards of 13%. That's right, 13%. They invest in notes starting from $100,000 throughout all of California, where real estate remains strong. If you want to know more about high return investments through available deeds of trust, go to their website, sunpacificmortgage.com, or call them today at 707-523-2099. That's sunpacificmortgage.com, or call 707-523-2099. sunpacificmortgage.com or 707-523-2099. Attention Italian food lovers. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California is open for takeout. Angelo's and Vinci's Takeout is available to offer you pizza, pasta, chicken, seafood, and the best Italian food in town. Order today and feast on salads, the best pizza, thin or thick crust, chicken marsala, parmesan, and more. Homemade lasagna, fettuccine alfredo, tortellini, antipasto, and caprese salads. Plus for dessert, homemade zeppoles and tiramisu flown in from Rome. We hope you're healthy and safe. And we want to keep you well fed. Wapo's To-Go Kitchen is open from 4 to 9 p.m. every day, or you can order through DoorDash. Remember, our pizza dough, bread, and sauces are still being made fresh every day. Angelo's and Vinci's, named Best Italian Restaurant on the Orange County Hot List. 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call us at 714-879-4022. Angelo's and Vinci's, 714-879-4022, 714-879-4022.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, the new American, and discussing racial segregation and the left's new woke value. Boy, you know, all the stuff, and especially the stuff you report here that goes on in these, you know, colleges. And this whole problem we're having today, Selwyn, all has to do with the indoctrination that you got in the originally in the colleges and in American schools now. And I think it starts in the third grade, maybe even before that. I don't know. It's we told them so, didn't we?
We did. Indoctrination. And now we have an indoctrination. That's what we are.
Very good.
And as the apocryphal saying goes, I know a lot of people attribute this to Abraham Lincoln, but he didn't actually say it. The teaching in the schoolroom today will be the politics of tomorrow. And that's the bottom line. That's the truth. But anyway, getting back to the article, you know, we were talking about how liberals in the 1960s, they used to rail against segregation. Now liberals today, they're actually implementing segregation. They are advocating it. Now, it's very easy here to call them hypocrites. And I've done that already, by the way. But in reality, if we want to analyze this a little more deeply, we have to realize that we're actually talking about different people. The liberals today are different individuals and also have different mentalities from the liberals of the 1960s. So what you can learn here is something about the nature of liberalism and, by the way, conservatism, because like conservatism, liberalism, I want everyone to understand this, is not an ideology as much as it's a process. Conservatism is the process of ever trying to preserve the status quo, to stand athwart history and yell stop, as William F. Buckley put it. Liberalism, Chuck, is the process of ever trying to change the status quo. So as I put it in my article, what we see here is that typical relativism-born problem of moderns that G.K. Chesterton lamented when he wrote, "Progress should mean that we are always changing the world to fit the vision. Instead, we're always changing the vision." Yet we can go even deeper. What kind of change are the liberals encouraging? Are they sparking? Well, really, you can characterize it correctly, Chuck, as movement towards disorder. And what I mean is this. You know as well as I do that if you let anything sit, such as a car or a house, without the application of energy that we call maintenance, what happens? Well, it deteriorates over time, right? A civilization, a culture, Chuck, is exactly the same way. Without that application of energy called maintenance, it declines, it deteriorates, okay? It's very important. You cannot just let a culture sit. You cannot take a hands-off approach. And G.K. Chesterton said something about this, too. He said, "The great mistake of conservatism is in believing that if you leave something alone, it remains the same." No, it does not. If you leave a thing alone, he said, it becomes subject to a torrent of change. And the mistake that we conservatives, and I shouldn't say we because I'm not really a conservative, I describe myself as something different altogether because I don't want to maintain the liberal status quo, I want to overthrow it. But the mistake that conservatives have made during the course of our country's history is that they're nice people and they just want to live their own lives and mind their own businesses. But because of that, Chuck, they've taken a real hands-off approach where they did not safeguard tradition the way they should have. And consequently, tradition then could easily be destroyed by the left. What a civilization must do if it wants to perpetuate itself is it must put the truth into action. Effort must be made to identify the truth, to convert it into action, and to imbue all our institutions with it, and also to cultivate the virtues in ourselves and instill them in our children. Ronald Reagan, Chuck, said that freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. But why is that? It's because morality, virtue, is never really more than one generation away from extinction. Because morality and freedom are inextricably linked. I know I've quoted this man before, but as Edmund Burke, the Anglo-Irish philosopher, put it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be G.K. Chesterton, because that's your favorite. But now you bring
somebody else.
Like, I'm going to tell G.K. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he is actually. But I'll tell you something. If I start quoting Chesterton too much, my editors get mad at me. So I've got to tamp that down a little bit.
Are they liberals?
But as it's just that they don't want you to become too one-dimensional.
That's
why I can't quote Chuck Wilder too much either, no matter what I do. I can't quote the American thinker. They get mad at me. But as Edmund Burke put it, the Anglo-Irish philosopher, he said, quote, "is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters." So if we do not again hold on to the truth, okay, with all our might, and try to make sure we convert it into action, like I said, if we don't instill that virtue in ourselves and in our kids, then you can bet freedom is going to be lost down the road. That is just the way it works. It's an immutable rule of man, and we ignore it at our own peril.
But you know what, see, you're trying to install it into the kids, as you say. But then the parents of those children, Selwyn, have also been indoctrinated at the stage we're in now. You know, it's like and it's terrible. And when you talk about, you know, separating the truth, I think the Democrats, seriously, have gotten away with so much they probably think that whatever they say is the truth. You know, like, is this the truth? Yeah, we said it, didn't we? Yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like self-hypnosis, maybe. I don't know. I really wonder what the heck's going on. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it goes beyond that, you see, and we've talked about this before, but the problem with these left-wingers is they do not believe in truth properly understood. Truth refers to something that exists apart from man and is universal, eternal, and unchanging. Liberals don't believe in that, leftists. They believe that everything is relative, and like I've said before, when you believe everything is relative, what do you ultimately do? You make everything relative to yourself, and that's what the left does. They become the source of their own morality, and everything that displeases them is wrong in their eyes, and everything that they like that conforms with their agenda is morally licit in their eyes. And that's why you see the behavior you do today. You see these liberals who are completely detached from reality. They not only lie, but they tell stories that are the polar opposite of the truth. They will claim that Trump and the Republicans are trying to overturn the election, are trying to launch a coup, are seditionists. But that's exactly what they're guilty of. What did they do? They just stole a whole election. And then when you try to point to that, when you try to uncover that, well, they claim that you're the one who's guilty of trying to overturn the election.
Yeah.
And they do this all the time. They'll accuse people on the right of being racist. But what do they do? Well, they're the ones who are peddling identity politics, who are dividing everyone into a group. It's white privilege. It's Hispanic this, Black caucus that, feminism this, women that. That's what they do. Everything is racial with them. And with segregation, which we were talking about. I mean, they'll claim that the right is exclusionary. But now they want to officially exclude people from certain groups based on race. I mean, the hypocrisy of these people is unbelievable, but that's because under their relativistic way of thinking, consistency, Chuck, can be no better than hypocrisy. It's, as Aleister Crowley, the occultist, said, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." That is what the left has boiled things down to.
Wow. You know, in another article you wrote about the Capitol violence, wasn't surprising, very convenient for the left. And even today, when they're pushing their agenda, you know, about how, oh, they stormed the Capitol. We can't have that. No way, whatever. You know, doesn't it seem like they were trying to get Trump at the White House? And whenever he had to go in the bunker and that was Antifa and the mad protesters. They just, what is it, convenience of memory? Is that what it would be labeled under, I guess, for the Democrats?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with them, again, it's whatever works for them at the moment. They're very much like children, and I've defined them that way. I've said that if you want to understand leftists, understand that one way in which you could frame it is that they never really matured. And I'm not just taking a shot at them. I mean that quite literally. They are in a very childlike state of development. That's the problem, and that's why you see they can't delay gratification. Responsibility is anathema to them. Mm-hmm. They want things for free. They don't understand how there's a price to be paid for everything and that there's no such thing as a free lunch. But, yeah, I mean, you were talking about the storming of the Capitol. If you want to discuss that article, that would be wonderful. You know, what I was pointing out there is that, well, one thing leads to another, and that's why the Capitol Hill violence was not surprising at all. I mean, Chuck, look, if I start yelling at you and calling you names, you might be polite for a while, but eventually you're going to respond in kind. And if that continues, maybe one of us is going to push the other. The pushing will lead to shoving. Mm-hmm. That might lead to punches thrown, and that might lead to an all-out brawl. That's the way it works. I mean, look, even if you're a Southerner, they have a joke about Southerners. They say, Chuck, a Southerner will continue to be polite to you until he gets mad enough to kill you.
You know, and I'll tell you something else jumping in here. You know, that there's a lot of Americans who have fought wars that may feel the very same way compared to what you're talking about with the Southerners and the Northerners. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they still respect America and they still respect the Constitution. And, you know, these guys are going, they're starting right at the top, you know, freedom of speech.
Right. Well, you see, but what I was saying in the article when I said that one thing leads to another is that, well, now the left wants to portray what happened in the Capitol as something unprecedented. Well, last year we saw an excess of 570 violent riots instigated by the left. Okay, where businesses were burned, thousands of businesses were destroyed, businesses were looted. And the left-wing politicians just endorsed this in a very subtle way with a wink and a nod. The media did so too. Law enforcement was not called upon to clamp down on the rioters. They were allowed to run rampant because the left figured, well, this is going to enhance our election chances. Well, my point is that when you normalize political violence, when you say, hey, this is the way things can be done, what goes around comes around. It becomes normalized, then other people do it too. When you say the rule of law means nothing, then people start concluding, well, yeah, okay, the law means nothing, then I can violate the law when it benefits me. That's just how it works. You can't avoid it. Now, unfortunately, though, as logical as that is, what I just articulated, Chuck, what the left does, because it controls the whole culture, it controls the media, is it does not send this message. Instead, these 570 riots from last year, you mentioned convenient memories, are all down the memory hole, and then they act as if what happened at the Capitol sort of occurred in a vacuum, as if all of a sudden, I mean, we had this perfect country governed by the rule of law and everything was sweetness and light, but then these right-wingers came to the Capitol and they wanted to overthrow the government. And by the way, we can't be sure all of them were right-wingers. There might have been leftist provocateurs in there. We don't know. But no, I mean, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. And that's why it is so, so dangerous when we allow political violence to be normalized. But that's what the left is doing. I mean, they've embraced Mao Zedong's sentiment that power grows out of the barrel of a gun. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, I mean, life is not a movie. I'd like to be able to say, oh, you know, at the end, the white knight on a big white horse always comes in and saves the day. But the truth is violence often does work. I mean, it's sad. Evil often does prevail. And that's why we do have to push back in the right way. I think we're going to a break in a few minutes. But we have to push back in the right way. So if I may touch upon this, Chuck, I would like to give people a solution here. It's something I've been pushing a lot now for many, many years. What do we do? I hear a lot of conservatives saying, oh, well, our country is gone, our freedoms are lost, that's it, woe is me. No, we do have some recourse, and that recourse is called nullification. Now, nullification is the process by which you simply say to the federal government of your state, no, what you're trying to impose upon us is unconstitutional, and we will not obey. An unconstitutional, unjust law is no law at all. And Thomas Jefferson called nullification, Chuck, quote, the rightful remedy, unquote, for all federal usurpation of states' powers. If we really care about, quote, making America great again, if we really care about fighting the good fight, this is what we will do. We will push for nullification in red states, in states where we can still control things, in states where elections still can make a difference. We will start a nullification movement, and we will say to politicians, we're not going to elect you unless you vow to oppose federal tyranny. And remember, this is how America is supposed to work. Most of the powers are supposed to lie with the states, not with the federal government. But the problem is that too many conservatives have absorbed the liberal mentality where they view the federal government as the final word,
yeah,
as the end-all and be-all. No, it is not. The federal government was meant to be an agent of the states and nothing more. It's supposed to be in the background, and that's the way it was a long time ago in this country. The federal government did not factor into most people's lives most of the time because it was their state and local governments that tended to most of the affairs affecting their lives. But now we've accepted this federal government as king mentality, and consequently, we now think we have no recourse because the left controls the federal government. No,
well,
we do have a recourse.
Mm-hmm.
It's called nullification. Let's put on our big boy pants and do it.
You know, I'm going to let you explain this to me, and we do have the break in about 40 seconds. But you know how you talk about, well, you want to go with your states if they're not doing what the government says, okay? But see, the problem right now, Selwyn, is that too many states took over, you know, how they were going to treat COVID, you know? And so that's why that's not very trustful. Or is it only you don't trust them if they got a Democratic governor, you know what I mean? And is that's the top with the nullification? I'll let you touch on that a little bit more, you know, and maybe I'm not making my point as clearly as I would, but you almost say it'd be nice to have one guy up there saying, okay, from now on, the United States, you all live under one COVID rule. We don't leave it up to the Democratic governor to tell you how it's going to be. Very confusing on my part. Selwyn Duke, the new American. We'll be back, wrap things up. Remember to spell that name, S-E-L-W-Y-N, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, Duke.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, once again, Selwyn Duke. Selwyn. So did my question come out like a question or just more rambling there about nullification and governors and the president?
No, it was very perspicuous. And just so people know, if you're a pompous person, as I am, that's how you say clear. No, it was very, very clear. And I'm glad you asked that question, Chuck, because if you're asking it, other people are going to have the same question. And the answer is simple. Obviously, there are states where sanity will not prevail, and there are Republicans out there who don't know what they're doing. Now, in that case, number one, we have to try to vote them out of power, and there are states where our votes will make a difference because they're not ridden with vote fraud yet, places like Utah and Oklahoma and South Dakota. Number one, we have to try to elect politicians who are going to implement sane proposals. Two, we do have states that do operate in a very sane fashion, like South Dakota, never locked down. The governor there, Kristi Noem, said she wasn't going to do it, and South Dakota is doing at least as well with respect to the China virus as the lockdown states are. So that's what we have to do. Two, if we don't like the way our state is run, guess what? We can just move to another state, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what has to be done, I remember that years ago they had something I think called the Free State Project, where they were encouraging libertarian-minded people to move to, I believe it was New Hampshire. They also had a similar movement with respect to Christians, where they were encouraging them to move to South Carolina. So we can move to different states. We can control the elections there, hopefully. But the point is that we can actually have a chance to assert the kind of control I'm talking about, because when you're talking about states, you're talking about entities that are closer to us. They're not that far away. You know, we can do a lot more. And this accords with the principle of subsidiarity, which basically states that if a function or something you have to do must be performed in society, it should be performed by the smallest possible unit of society that it can be performed by. So that's what we should do. You know, and of course, if we're going to get to a point where we have no states that are run properly because the people are just so far gone, well, then we are truly lost. Then we are, Chuck. But the point is we have to make sure that we take action now before we get to that point. And to that end, we have to try to assert control in these more conservative states, because if we don't, what's going to happen is this. The federal government is going to run roughshod over the whole country. It's going to implement leftism everywhere. And then even these states now that are better are going to be corrupted, and they're going to go the way of California and New York and Hawaii and Massachusetts, and then all hope will be lost. And that's why we need to stand up now before it's too late.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty obvious as of what's just happened that unless you're a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Trump wasn't, and in case you belong to the swamp that makes sure everybody in Congress is going to, you know, get their money they want for dealing with whatever they're doing, you're not going to get elected. And then Ross Perot, I don't guess he really had one specific thing, but I don't know if Ross ever belonged to the CFR or not. But kind of interesting, their qualifications for becoming president. Hey, Selwyn?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, all out of time, sir. Thank you very much, and I look forward to our next visit.
Same here, Chuck, and God bless.
God bless you. And by the way, when you go to Selwyn Duke and read all his great articles, he's got a lot of great links, too, that you don't want to miss. Hey, thank you very much to Jeremy Dayton. And did I have an astounding thing here today? Senility has been a very smooth transition for me. Yeah, that'll work. We'll be back. Thanks for listening.